Job chapter 42, verse 5. Even though it's Easter, the message doesn't have to be Easter, right? We pick the message of the season, eh? Praise the Lord, eh? It says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes seeth thee, or mine eye seeth thee. It says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. You know, often when I get shocked by not just human beings, but Christians who live their normal day. They wake up in the morning, go through the day, sleep at night, and start the day again without a clear understanding that actually life is spiritual. Eh? There are actually Christians out there. To them, Christianity has been summarized to read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. And indeed, that is the principle that we draw from Scripture. But what we try from the depth of our hearts to bring you into is the understanding of this particular scripture. That I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye has seen thee. This scripture should be able to apply to you in its fullness. I used to spend hours on just this scripture, because the way a spiritual person reads the Bible is with the understanding that every scripture is speaking to me directly. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? And so, by the time we're through, I pray you would have understood the importance of scriptures like this and the importance of realizing that more than just being a Christian, you're a spiritual Christian. Praise the living God. I often like to look around when we're worshiping, and I try to pick the postures of people. You'd be shocked. You'd be shocked the postures people have during an atmosphere of worship. Now, I need to explain something that you should never forget. There are degrees or layers in which the presence of God encompasses an area in which his people are. There are layers, increasing degrees. You with me? The default level, the Bible says, where two or more are gathered, there shall I be among them. It's a default. It doesn't say gathered praying. It says gathered in my name. Doesn't say praying in tongues, doesn't say worshiping. It says gathered in my name. You could be having a conference meeting talking about preparing for something you're going to do. Huh? A crusade, you're going to go somewhere. Who knows? And as you're sitting there, it's a law where two or more are gathered. In his name, there shall he be among them. So that's a default. It's a default presence. Now, I feel led in this direction. Let's go. You see, whenever we come into the presence of God, there is a default presence that is released throughout the atmosphere, indicating the presence of the Lord. If you are spiritual, let me put it this way, if you are sensitive, you will pick up that subtle presence, because it's very, very subtle. In fact, it begins the moment we come for fellowship and someone says, praise the Lord. It is there instantly. It's a default. And anyone who's sensitive will walk in. You haven't started praising. Testimonies haven't started. People could be sitting. Even if you have problems, thinking of whatever you're thinking, and there's a default presence. Now, take what I've just said and apply it to your room. your bedroom, your kitchen, your office, there's a default presence. You with me? That default presence is indicated by the presence of angelic beings. There are angels that appear simply because people have gathered in his name. Hear me carefully. There are angels that appear simply because people have gathered in his name. As you start clapping and you say amen, those angels are the ones that indicate that default presence. Okay, let me explain it a bit further. Even though Jesus says, "There shall I be amongst you," when you gather at the default level of the presence, it does not mean the personality Jesus is there. Because angels can carry his presence. You with me? You with me? So, just like in the book of Exodus, there was an angel in the pillar of fire who went ahead of the Israelites in the wilderness. But God tells Moses, "I will go with you." Okay? So the presence of an angel of God can symbolize the presence of God. Praise the living God. So, there is a default presence. I call it a residue presence, kind of. That if someone is sensitive, they will pick it up. Even at that default, miracles can happen. You with me? There is a default presence. Men carry atmospheres, and so do angels, so do spiritual beings. Every time you meet a man, and I've taught this before, you encounter his atmosphere before you encounter him. Any, you see, you will pick up, especially for people with thick walls, when you meet them, before you meet them, you meet their atmosphere. So you will pick up things about them before you actually even start to have conversation with them. People carry worlds. Angels carry worlds. Demons carry a world. You with me, children of God? Now, the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 19, I hear the Lord say, verse 19, "And the angel," this is Angel Gabriel, "answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God." As some of you might already know, angels have different degrees of presence in the presence of God. So there are some that are closer than others. Yeah? It's not my teaching, it's in scripture. Now, the closer an angel is to the presence, the more potent the presence when you encounter that angel. You with me? Now, I want you to understand something. That long before an angel actually comes into a room, its presence comes before it. The same is true for the demonic. Long before the entity has shown up in the room, the presence first precedes it. Praise the Lord. So there's a default presence of God that is in a room when people meet, and it increases in layers. I'm going to explain it. Because there are different types of encounters. There are different types of encounters. The first encounter that you will have often is an encounter of atmosphere. Something in the atmosphere will change. Whether you are aware or not, you have just had an encounter. Atmospheric encounters can have an impact on you. You're with me? So, just like in this room. Anyway, let me leave it. So atmospheric encounters can have impact on you. And I want you to pay attention from where the Lord is taking us from. Because the scripture we started with is, I had heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes seest thee. Right? I was with a guy. There are unusual things that go on around us. Unusual and strange things that happen around us. Very unusual and strange. And I like to sit down with people who have unusual and strange experiences. Because they open up your realization that, my God, it's true, we aren't alone. Unusual and strange. Can I share with you? So, today before I came here, there's a gentleman I met. I sit with him and we're talking. Then he tells me, Rabbi, there's an encounter I had and I would like you to explain it to me. So he breaks it down to me. I'm going to really make it as brief as I can because it was a long encounter. This guy is an architect and he's a fitness guy. Fitness. So, yeah. So he tells me of an experience he had 2 to 3 years ago. Now he's not as fit as he was then. But then he had a few muscles that are showing up. And so he was fascinated with fitness. And so he said one day he went to one of these fitness clubs here, exclusive ones, not these ones where you just walk in. Exclusive clubs. Walked in, and he was going to do gym and all that stuff. And he saw it was full of men. Now, interestingly, within the fitness club, there are levels and layers. So there is Kayola. That means everyone. Then you move on, and the higher you go, the more exclusive the individual. And imagine, in an exclusive fitness. So, somehow, because he knew the person there, he was taken to the very exclusive part. And he saw guys, he said, man, the other guys, they've been doing this for years. Guys are lifting. Lifting. I don't know if that's how they lifted. You laugh. My spirit is mugged. Anyway. And I'm sure someone, that's all they'll remember. McLean, is that how they lift? They don't lift like that. Like this. Anyway, so he goes in, looks around, sees all these huge men. God, the guys are lifting things. And he looks in the corner and sees a woman, young, he said, about 26, 27 years old. And he said, anyone who walked into that room should be the first person that stands out. First, because she's a lady. But second, because she was slim, but she was doing things that were not normal. So she said, he told me, she went to 100 kgs and was just... So, you know, he did his stuff. You know those, whatever it is. And he kept on looking at her. And after some time, he was introduced to her. As she's a dietitian. Okay? Emma, dietitian means... Anyway, you go and Google it. So she's a dietitian. So he gets close to this lady. They become friends. So every other day, they come to the gym, do their thing. Now, she got interest in him, and people were shocked because she always, you know, kept to herself. So they were wondering why she was drawn to him. But anyway... So he's, you know, she's giving him dietary advice, you know, make this kind of juice, do this, do this. And you know, he said, man, things were working out for me. So he said, I began to realize that there was something unique about her, but I couldn't pinpoint it. 26, 27 years old. She seemed like her life was already put together. She seemed to have the money, never did anything else except come to gym. She drove a nice car. He had the opportunity to go to her house. Had a fantastic house. So one day he asked her, "How do you have all these things?" And she just laughed. And she said, "I am Kenyan. I moved to Uganda. I have no family. My parents died. I have no siblings. I have no one, no friends." Strange, eh? But somehow, she's living some sort of a semi-luxurious life. I have to hurry this along. So, long story short, one day, she invites him to her house because there's some things she wanted to show him. Eh? As a normal person, you know, you've been friends with this person for about 2 months, you go to the house. He goes to the house, and he walks in, and he begins to realize there's incense burning. Eh? So that she had put candles all over the house, and there was incense. Okay. So he started to notice things. Plants in strange places. Artifacts, those, you know, artistic artifacts that just don't make sense on the wall. And so he was like, okay. So she was preparing something for him, and he heard her mumble twice, "Goddess of the sea. Goddess of the sea." So imagine you're with someone, you're busy on the dining table, you know, chilling on your phone. Someone is cooking for you, but saying, "Oh, goddess of the sea." Now, this guy at that time was drawn towards atheism. So he wasn't a born-again Christian. And so he was very clueless, first of all, of biblical things, but even spiritual things. He believed, you know, these things of God are a waste of time. So when you hear someone say goddess of the sea, you're thinking another religious fanatic of some sort. So they eat, and he said they were sitting down talking, and she would pick his thoughts. He would be thinking something, and all of a sudden, she answers the question. And so when she would see the shock on his face, she would realize, oh, she has said it out loud. She wasn't supposed to. Okay? So she tells him, imagine he was there from, he told me about lunch to late evening. She tells him to go to the balcony. Now, this is an apartment. She's on the lower level. Okay? Balcony with a nice garden. So they sit on the balcony. And as they're talking, he starts to feel strange. And he said, "I felt like something was taking over me, but I couldn't understand what it was." The woman walks over to her radio, switches on rap music, but this dark, demonic rap music. He said, "It was loud, and something was changing in the atmosphere. I felt something was happening to me, but I couldn't understand." Meanwhile, this 26, 27-year-old is just, "Hey, yeah, oh, I love this music." So, he tells me, "I kept feeling like there's something not right about me." So, as they sat on the balcony talking, he started to feel like he was losing himself. You know, he would go into a trance and come out. Into a trance and come out. So, in the middle of the trance, one trance, he turned and looked at the lady, and she was grabbing something in the air, whispering into her fist, and then touching him. So at first, she asked, "Natasha, what are you doing?" "Natasha, there's nothing. What? You don't look well. What's wrong?" He says, I don't feel right." He's losing his senses. She does it again. Grabs something, speaks, touches him. And each time, he seems to be leaving himself. So he said, "I got petrified." You know this fear? You can't move. I was like, "What's going on?" Meanwhile, the chick in front is like, "Are you okay?" You know? Here in Uganda. Then he said, when I looked at her, it's like a veil was opened and she wasn't human. She was something else. He said like a fox or something. So he kept shaking his head. Said, I don't understand what's going on here. So she does it one more time. Huh? And this time he moves his leg and she misses. So she says, let me get you some water. She gets up to get some water. And he could feel himself leaving his body. And so he looked, and a garden that he could see right in front of him, in front of the balcony, started to like shake and split. And he saw individuals were about to join them. Spiritual individuals. This lady was busy inviting. And imagine an unbeliever, scared to death. So he started saying, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? So this lady, after coming back with the water, he says, don't touch me, don't touch me. This time she does it by force. Takes it, something speaks, and touches him. He was paralyzed completely. Before he could move, now he was paralyzed. Then a voice inside of him started speaking. Now, I even to non-believers, a voice started speaking. He said he started hearing words. Get out quickly, get out. But he had delayed, and he said he had been hearing that voice from the time he sat, but you think, something is saying get out. So he sat, he was paralyzed, and inside there was a cry for help from him. And he said, I felt a being, a separate being, show up, a separate presence. And he looked at this lady, and she started stepping back and stood from a distance. You guys, the unusual things on this earth. Eh? Now, I have to cut the story short because a lot of things happened in there. But ultimately, when this being, the presence came, he started feeling himself back in his body. So as quickly as he could, he just... No? And the lady said, where are you going? You know? And all this time, she had tried to get him to incant, you know? Because she kept on saying, I want you to tell me what you see. Tell me. And he said, every time I tried to speak, this being had sealed my mouth. So she was getting frustrated, you know? And he said, it seemed she wanted to initiate me into something that needed me to say something. Right? But thank God that the presence of God. Now, from there, he ran and looked for the closest born-again person that he could find. And he landed upon, interesting, someone who goes to Zoe, he landed upon the person. And you see, on another day, if he had landed on a normal Christian, it's like, that stuff, you just, those things. But he landed on someone who was aware that the spiritual is there. And the person said, first we know those things. And they helped him out. Now he's born again. So he was telling me that story. Now, I was explaining to him that there's a scripture in Psalms 34 verse 7 that says the angels of the Lord encompass around them who are his. Huh? Are you with me? Praise the Lord. There are unusual things that take place. This was a 26, 27-year-old girl looking no more pretty. Huh? And you know, he started to play out. He said, I realized there were a lot of signs to show me this lady was not. She would tell me things like, one day we should go to the coast. Just visit the coast of Kenya. You know, things like that. Huh? He said one day he was with her and she received a call of a sister, of a guy she had been with, complaining, you've made my brother mad. He said he saw so many signs, and yet no more human being walking. Now, I believe why she had access to him is because, first of all, he's an architect and she saw it, but how many of you know we carry stars? Huh? I was sharing with someone yesterday that if you look at Matthew chapter 2, don't go there, the Bible says that a star rises and wise men are following that star. And I was explaining that these wise men had three categories. First, they were wise. Second, they were magicians. Third, they were kings. Huh? Now, they see a star in the sky and are able to tell whose star it is. You with me? And it's unfortunate that the occult are always aware of the signs in the spirit before the church. Because even then, these guys, magicians, are aware of something that Pharisees who had been reading scripture are totally clueless about, and that's the church today. And so you will find there are individuals that are drawn to you over things that are in you that you have no clue about. Now, we're heading somewhere. So there is the encounters that can happen on a level where you're unaware. It's an atmosphere kind of thing. There's a level higher of an encounter that I call a full revelation, where an angel, just like in Luke chapter 1 verse 26 and Luke 1:19, an angel shows up and you can see him with your physical eyes. That is a full revelation. Full. You're not using spiritual eyes now. Comes into your presence, or a demonic thing is there alive. Full revelation. Now please understand that the angelic, let me stick to angelic. The angelic that we encounter, especially in the physical, is dubbed down. Because when you go to the realm of the spirit, let me put it this way, the angel Gabriel that Mary and Zacharias saw is not in his fullness. Because when you're coming from a higher realm to a lower one, you reduce so that you can be accommodated in the lower realm. Are you with me? It's like how Jesus shows up to these guys. Yes, he's shining bright. But when John sees him in Revelations, he's a different kind of Jesus. Because when you encounter him in his home realm, you see things as they truly are. And the same is true about yourself. You actually see right now who you are is not who you are. There's a true reality. And so, Revelations 10, 1 to 2, give me there. It says, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire." Verse 2. And it says, "And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth." This is not your everyday, "Oh my God, I encountered an angel." This is a being who John sees from the realm of the spirit in his true reality, where one foot can fit on the sea and the other on land. In their trueness. You understand? So, there's that kind of encounter that you can have. I remember years back, there's a guy who used to come to our home. I used to send Bugolobi flats. The guy who used to come, his name was Peter. And he used to come, and somehow we'd always time when my parents were not around. It was just me and my brothers. And he used to come, and they had invited him once at school, and Scripture Union and so on. Saw him only once, but somehow he asked me, I remember when he met me at school, said, "Where do you stay? I'll come and visit you." So he used to come every holidays. He would come for an hour and pray over my brothers and I. That's all he would do. And he would pick me out and say, "Lord, I preserve him for ministry. I preserve him for ministry." And this guy was weird, because he used to just come. He wouldn't eat anything, never drink anything. Constantly for about 2 years, he used to come. Until one day, he disappeared. I never saw him again. Up to now, I've never seen him. About 4 years back, I had, because this is the other level of encounter you can have. The first level I told you, you're usually unaware. The second level is a full encounter. There's a level where you encounter things and see them with the eye of the spirit. Now, I need to explain something, because there are four levels. The first that I've mentioned, the second, the full revelation, let me go in order. The third is where you see a being with your spiritual eyes. Okay? Now, seeing a being with your spiritual eyes, he can be right there, and you're seeing him, but no one else can see him. You're with me? It happened to Paul in Acts chapter 9, verse 3. Take me 9, verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. So a light comes, but you read on, no one else could see it, though they could hear some voice. So he's seeing somehow, purposefully or not, the eyes are opened, and he can see something, and no one else can see it. There's a day I was seated with someone, I won't say who, and as I was talking to them, a man walked in. We're sitting in a hotel, he walks in and sits across us. Sits, he has a cap and watches. Some of you will say, So he sat there, and I was talking to this lady, and I was seated in such a way that I could see the guy from the side, and she was sitting right, she could see him. Okay? For an hour, he just sat and watched. Freaky. Just looking at us, didn't blink, did nothing. So, being myself, I was like, let's just go along with the ministrations. In the middle there, you say, Braka, anyway, so as I'm talking to this lady, about an hour goes by, and I tell her, now we're done with the ministration, you can go. The moment I say that, I turn, and this guy gets up and leaves. So as we're getting up to leave, I ask the lady with me, did you see that guy? She says, which guy? I ask the bartender, say, did you see a guy here? Says, no one's been seated there the entire time. Are you with me? So all that time, and I want you to imagine, as real as I can see him, that's how it was. But I did not know that the veil was opened and I'm actually seeing someone in the spirit. So there's that level of encounter where you see things with your spiritual eyes. Then the final one where you see with what I call the eye of the heart. It happens usually with visions and dreams. You're not using these kind of spiritual eyes. It's almost like you've been taken into an encounter. If Jesus appeared, if you turn this side, you're seeing him. If you turn this side, you're seeing him. You turn this side, you understand? It's more than just the spiritual eyes. It's the eye of the heart. It's hard to explain. So, there's an encounter like that. Now, the reason why I brought that up is because in that particular encounter, this last stage, I had a dream, and in that dream, I'll never forget it, profound. The Lord showed me 5 people that had been in my life. And in that dream, he said each of them were angels. Now, I want you to imagine people that you used to talk to every day. Then you come to the realization that you don't see them anymore. Like, you look back and you say, by the way, where did this guy go? Huh? Now, among those 5 was this Peter guy. When I tell you that, life is very, very spiritual. And there's a lot that goes on around us that works for us. You see, when the Bible says, no weapon forged against you shall prosper. Please understand, what that scripture actually means is that there's someone purposefully forging a weapon. Purposefully. You understand? Someone sits away on the side, looks at you, maybe doesn't like your hair. And decides, there's someone, and he says, it shall not prosper. Take me to Psalms 91. Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he says, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Go on to verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Verse 3. Surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. There's a lot there. Okay, verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Say amen. Amen. And under his wings shalt thou trust his truth. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Now, I want you to understand what the scripture actually means. That there is actually a darkness that can only operate at night. Only. And he calls it the terror by night. And that what happens during the day is an arrow, not a terror. Huh? Not a terror. Verse 6 says, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noondays. So, we'll teach on this, but ideally, there are specific timings for the enemy to attack a child of God. Okay? That we'll touch on another day. Now, you have around you helpers, and I want to touch something quickly because there's so much I could say, but you have around you. When we are in the presence of God, angels come because of simply default. Then as the presence intensifies, the type of the angelic changes. Changes. Last week, there was such a powerful presence that if you had picked up, if you could have asked for anything, you would have walked into it. As I was walking around, and I told you, I've learned through ministry to pretend. Huh? So I'll see something and just continue. Because imagine if I stopped and I said, my God! Some people here would say, what? What? Even the guy standing up, he said, what? Huh? But I was moving around, and I looked at someone. And there's a way you can tell the substance, the atmosphere around someone changes when there's an angelic around them. And this person was seated behind, in the other room. And so, as I walked around, I looked, and I could see that there was an angel behind him. But I couldn't see the angel. I could see the atmosphere. It's like a knowing. All right? Now, I looked at this guy looking at me. Huh? And so, I fellowship ends, I go home. And usually, after fellowship has ended, I go through the entire fellowship again, from beginning to end. So we don't just go and say, oh Lord, I have done it, eat pizza. I go back from the beginning. Now, as I sat back, I went back to that moment, and this time I saw the angel. So I'm seeing the angel from my home, but in the past. Okay, anyway, so I see the angel, and I text this guy. I tell him, by the way, there was an angel behind you. And he tells me, man, the entire time I was busy trying to get you to tell me there's an angel behind me. Now, he didn't know that there was an angel behind him. He was trying to craft me to pick him out and tell him there's an angel behind him. He did not seem to realize, and he didn't know, and I told him, you didn't know, that actually, the angel had planted the thought that I'm behind you. You get? He had picked it up, but misconstrued it, kind of. Was looking for the man of God to do something. Angels don't come because men of God have said it comes behind you. As long as there's a presence, remember I've told you, a divorced presence, angels show up. And at that point, the way it was behind him, the angel, was just like this. And ideally had something for him. All he had to say was speak. Just speak. There are guys. And I pray that, because the reason why the Lord, there are many things I could have taught here, but the reason why the Lord wants us to be awakened to this is to realize that when you walk this earth, indeed you are not walking alone. And one day in its fullness, I'll teach about how actually to operate with your angel. Because, give me Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 30. When 40 years were expired, this is about Moses, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in the flame of fire in a bush. Now, in the Old Testament, it's not an angel. It's just a burning bush. Here, Stephen is saying there was an angel. Now, this is literally what happened. An angel shows up in the bush, stands right there, and makes his essence seen. So he can't see the angel, but can see its essence. In this case, the angel's essence was fire. Now, I need you to understand Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7. Hebrews 1, verse 7. And of the angels, he saith, you maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Another version says, you make your angels wind. I need you to understand that there are angels with different essences. Some wind, some fire, some water. We could... And not only that, even human beings. Do you know these things, the last airbender? What do they call those? They call them the four... What? The elements? Four or five elements? You know, these guys don't just get things out of nowhere. There are people born on this earth, children of God, who have for some reason an affinity to fire. Some an affinity to water, some to wind, some to earth. I know what I'm talking about. Someone's saying it's like a movie, man. But what I'm telling you is absolutely true. So Moses encounters an angel that stands inside a bush and reveals its essence. Now, I was telling you that I'll teach on how you can actually walk with your angel, because when you are able to pick up signs of the angelic, every time you acknowledge the signs, you grow in a walk with them. So, if fire showed up again in a peculiar way, Moses would know this is an angel. That's how men of God who have walked with God and seen the supernatural, when he's standing and says the angels of the Lord are here, if he knows what he's talking about, he's not talking in faith. Because even though he might not see the angel, he might have seen a sign. I get what I'm saying? And so for some people, all of a sudden a room that's enclosed just fills with wind. And to everyone else, it's a normal wind. But he picks it up and says, the angel of the Lord is here. The signs. There is something happening to you guys. I wish you do, eh? The signs. Eh? Praise the Lord. Now, I want to end with this. Eh? I want to end with this. I want to teach you how to sustain a spiritual reality. But we won't have time to... So I'm just going to give you only one particular thing. I promise the next time. Eh? Eh. But how to sustain a spiritual reality. And a spiritual reality could be an encounter, could be something you've tapped into, prophetic, it could be something, anything, huh, that you received miraculously, a way to sustain that result. And it's going to be something you know. Huh? But I need you to understand this, eh? That in the realm of the spirit, there are gates. There are gates of prophecy, gates of wisdom, gates of love, they're gates. You enter into the gate. Most of the Christians are spending time saying, Lord, come down, when you're supposed to be going up. Are you with me? You don't say, Lord, come down. No, I'm coming up. Huh? Scripture says, who may ascend unto the hill of God? That's what scripture says. So, you enter gates. They don't come to you. You enter them. You pick a gate. There is a gate of wealth. And I know what I'm talking about. And those gates have actually levels and degrees. How do you enter a gate? The first principle which I'm going to end on today is acknowledgement. Scripture says, acknowledge the Lord in all thy ways, and he will make your path straight. Are you with me? Philemon, chapter 1, verse 6. Say, that the communication of thy faith may be effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, what that means is that, eh, if you ever see signs of something in your life, let's say somehow your eyes just open and you see something that wasn't there, the first thing, Rabbi, I actually saw. I saw, Rabbi. I saw. Or I prayed for someone and the headache went. Or I called something and it came. What happens is that all these gates are actually realms. When you acknowledge a realm, it comes and encompasses around you. I want you to hear what I'm saying. So, when it comes around you, let's say you pick something prophetic. In the realm of the spirit, you're no longer just potential. The realm is with you because things don't just happen by accident. Now, the more you acknowledge that actually I'm prophetic, I am. Whether you've seen that night or not, actually I'm prophetic. You have literally anchored the realm. And I want to tell you the secret, because the way gates you can open, some gates are closed to people. There are people who are actually in abject poverty, yet they're children of God praying day and night because there are gates that are closed to them. Now, they don't know that there are certain things you can do to open gates, and we do them all the time. You can worship, you can sow, you can pray in tongues. When you're doing it, a gate is being opened. But you see, the most are passed by places. You hear, and you see, it's not in vain. It has opened something. But if a person doesn't know, it closes again. I don't know how to explain it. And so we have the Christian who gets a miracle today and then goes back, Lord, where are you? Gets a miracle the next day, goes back, Lord, where are you? Because the first principle, and it seems very simple, but if you have to learn to stop limiting yourself by your natural surroundings and what you think you see and acknowledge. So the first thing you acknowledge is what God is saying about you. Now, it could have been a prophecy that was received. Never, ever, ever allow anything contrary from what God has said you are. But if you've never received a prophetic word, scripture is full of things that you are. Amen. Are you with me? Just pick one. I am a strong tower. Amen. You with me? What you're doing, you first accept and acknowledge what God has said you are. And that's how men become. Huh? Huh? Praise the Lord. The next thing you acknowledge is the channel that God has used. Very, 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 very important. Because many people miss this out. God will often use men, especially in the realms of impartation, to make you enter a particular gate. Now, the perception most people have is that when they've come for fellowship, impartation happens only from the man of God. But there's an impartation that can happen straight from your neighbor. It's an association thing. And you find if the neighbor is a prayerful person, has the intercessory bracket thing on them, all of a sudden you're like, last night I was praying. Because impartations, naturally, you should expect them in fellowship. Expect them. So, when you acknowledge, and this is what I'm saying, acknowledging channel. Let's say a man of God has released something on your life. And let's say the perception that your friends have about that man of God is not right. But you know where you got the thing from. I can assure you, if you do not acknowledge, first privately, then publicly, that thing cannot stay. Hear me carefully. It cannot. It can't. The man released, said, hey, have it. And you say, oh my God, my life, the breakthrough came and what and what. You came like Nicodemus in the night. I'm telling you, it is temporary. Because, and that's the reason why testimonies have power. Amen. Are you with me? Because they are public affirmations. Public doesn't mean 1,000 people. It means you've gone to the next person and said, you know what? Because testimonies are a ways of acknowledging source. And you see, you acknowledge a channel, a thing can't leave. It can't. Hear me, it can't. Huh? So, and I'm talking about, it doesn't matter what people's perceptions are of who the person you're hanging around with, or who you've got the release from. Because your miracle will often show that God was in it. That's why we need to die to the perceptions of men. Are you with me? I'll tell you frankly, there are people who come to me in the night. Come to me in the night. Huh? Apparently, for some reason, they're afraid to be associated with me. And I laugh because I'll pray for you. Your issue will have its breakthrough, but I'm well aware, you will probably come back. Or look for another man of God. Because you know I have an answer inside of me. You know I'm a tool of God. But you're fearing to acknowledge. And not just me, any man of God, please. I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. My desire is for you. There's a night I had an experience. Something happens when men go to sleep. Eh? Something happens when men go to sleep. When you go to sleep at night, you're opened up to an entire world. And I've told people, you are the most vulnerable when you're asleep. Huh? That's the time you're probably the most vulnerable because you're unconscious. If some chap decided to come break into the house, so you're literally at the protection of God 100%. If you think during the day you're wide awake, eh? At night you're fast asleep, you're literally, God protects you. And things jump over your bed, they go through things. I told you, remember the time I told you guys, I was praying alone somewhere, I used to have a house in Mutungo, and a guy with a horse, I kid you not, passed through my room. I kid you not. I was freaked out. Up to now, I don't know what that was. Maybe God someday will explain it to me. But I just want you to imagine you're in your bedroom. It's around 1 a.m. And I wasn't doing anything spiritual. I was watching a movie. Then you're like, oh, pataka, pataka. Being rising. And I remember, it's later that I began to realize that when I acknowledge that this is actually my realm, these are actually my experiences, this is my life, more of them began to open up. More of them began to open up. There are, if you went to these markets down here, I've been down there, you meet a person, she tells you your name, words of knowledge, in the market, busy selling tomatoes. They're telling you, huh? Aren't you a man of God? This is you. Don't you stay here? And he's just selling tomatoes. And you see, to such a woman, you can't start telling her that she's broke. Hmm? This other lady, I was telling you with this other guy, if someone could do things like that with the supernatural on a man, where did that wealth come from? Because it couldn't be traced. She wasn't working. But the Christian, the average Christian, is day and night, mukama, 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 day and night. What is happening? We need to rise up. Honestly, we need to rise up. We need to rise up. Let's sort out marriage, sort out all these other things, then now we start in actually living a life, because average people don't sit on thrones. Amen. Average people do not sit on thrones. Praise the Lord. Eh? There's an angelic here, and I'm not just saying that. Eh? There is. There, whenever a word is released, hear me, the atmosphere takes the shape of the word. So, you can connect to what you desire in line with the atmosphere of the word. Are you with me? There is a day, and it's the only time, because I've had various angelic encounters, but it's the only time I've ever had one like this. There was a night, I was still staying with my parents, so I used to have a room of my own, and I I closed the door, and remember, I slept off, and I had one of these demonic things that comes and strangles you, eh? Huh? And I remember that day I said, this is the last time you're coming. That was 2017. Since then, nah. You're coming in to strangle me. Anyway, so this thing broke into the room. Up to now, I'm not so sure if it was spiritual or natural. You know, that veil where you're seeing with your spiritual eyes, something stands between the demarcations of spiritual and natural. That's why you can see it and no one else can, eh? Yeah? So this thing somehow opens the door, comes in, jumps on me, and begins to strangle me. I was petrified. Fear, absolute fear. And I remember the only time I've ever seen anything like this, a fiery angel showed up with a sword and, what do you say, smitten? Huh? Anyway, so this thing disappeared, and I remember seeing, it was so real. I saw this fiery being, and I looked, and I remember that time I said, you're a seraphim. And said, no. I said, you're a war angel. Shook its head, then disappeared. Now, the funny thing is that I felt it was a dream, but I woke up standing. So I don't know anything. You wake up and the door that you had closed is open. So did it happen? It was that kind of thing. But I'll tell you the truth, I've never had an encounter with that kind of angel since. I wish I could give you my eyes and give you or the image in my head of what it was like. When we say that something carries a presence and shows up. Now, when someone has been in the realm of the supernatural consistently, that presence begins to become theirs. So when you meet them, you literally feel it. When you have their encounters so powerful that when you have them, something in you dies. That's how you know people who have actually met Jesus. There's no way you can meet Jesus and you're still the same. Yeah, I saw Jesus yesterday and he told me. Did you figment of your imagination or did you really see Jesus? Because if just meeting an angel, guys are falling, you don't forget it. In fact, it leaves every encounter, especially supernatural to that degree, leaves a mark on your soul to the extent that if you remember it, it's almost like it's happening again. You remember it absolutely in detail. It doesn't die. Yet today you tell the guy, you saw Jesus. Suppose you saw Jesus. What did he say? Next time it's changing. No. You didn't meet Jesus. The encounters that leave marks on you. And when you've been in the presence, you literally have that incense. That's why some people can pick up that a man has entered the room or is about to enter before he does. You think it's, I know his perfume. No. Man of God is not just about perfume. Eh? It's, I told you, presence goes before the individual. Goes before the individual. And sometimes you feel it in your room. And the presence of a person can be there. To the extent that if you've had encounters with spiritual beings, each has their own atmosphere that is unique. That if you went to a place and are not seeing that being, you will remember that atmosphere. And you'll know this thing is around here somewhere. I know what I'm telling you. So in this time, we are entering, or we are already in unusual times. People are going to have more angelic encounters. Huh? People are going to see things that you... If already some of us, I was with a guy the other day, man of God, told me he went to sleep on the roof. He said, Daniel, I said, what is going on? He went to sleep, he was just, yeah, what are you chilling? What? The roof disappeared. And he said, nothing else happened, the roof was just gone. So I was petrified, I didn't want to do anything. stayed there until finally his eyes started adjusting and the roof was back. Now, why that happened? Praise the Lord. Eh? We are in a stage where angels are going ahead of you. In your workplace, in your house, for your marriage, in the name of Jesus. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? That's the stage that we're at now. Praise the living God.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.